Huh? Now I know. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice. Well, I hope you are all embracing the Christmas season. It's already December 2nd. Well, only, 23 days away from Christmas. Here it comes. It comes in pretty quickly, and it's going by pretty fast. You know, with all the opportunities we have here at our church over the next several weeks, the Ark performances, or the cantatas, or even tonight with soup and carols. So there's so many opportunities for you to invite someone to come to be a part of our gathering, to hear the truth of the gospel. I mean, especially tonight, right? I mean, talk about totally unthreatening. You know, soup, cookies, Christmas carols. I mean, there's nothing wrong with any of those things, right? So find a friend, invite them to come and join us tonight. Well, as we jump into our Christmas season, I have a little series for you entitled Unwrapping Christ for Christmas. Please take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2. As we talk about shepherds, wise guys, and a king. But today we'll be talking about the shepherds, and next week we'll talk about some wise guys, the wise men. And a few weeks after that, we'll talk about the king. But we're in Luke chapter 2 this morning, starting in verse 8, as we hear about the account of the shepherds, the time of the birth of Christ. Starting in verse 8. We read, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased.' And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. May the Lord add his blessing at the hearing and the reading of his word this morning." But we all go through times in life where there are great ups and great downs. Times when it seems that everything is awesome. Everything seems to be going the way we've imagined or dreamed. But then there are the times when things aren't going the way we had hoped. When things aren't going the right way. Times when all we are doing is waiting for the other shoe to drop. And in some cases, it just feels like it's raining shoes. At age 24, Kathy and I started our business up in Wisconsin. 2 years into our business, we were down to our last few pennies. We had taken out a $10,000 business loan, and the line of credit was now all gone. After paying our office manager and other office expenses, there was nothing left. And now, as Kathy and I were turning in for the evening one night, the dam of emotions finally broke for us, and we were now in tears as we got into bed, and our hopes and our dreams were evaporating before our eyes. This just wasn't working out. All that we had been promised by the company had just never come through. We had worked hard, and we were working hard. I was out every night of the week trying to sell policies, but our circumstances and our income just wasn't changing. And now, as reality was crashing in on us, we were now broke, and the noose was now tightening. If something didn't change, and change soon, it was going to be over. We were afraid of what was going to happen. We felt all alone. We were despairing. We were pushed down, and into a pit, it seemed. It seemed that everything was going dark. Sometimes in life, it's easy to become overwhelmed with feelings of loneliness, darkness, despair, and oppression. But God knows how to reach us. He knows where we are, what we're doing, and what we're up against. In all of this, we don't need to be afraid. God has words of comfort, joy, hope, and peace for us. And ultimately, we can respond to all that God has revealed to us by seeking His presence, proclaiming His wonder, treasuring His promises, and exalting His goodness, as we will see in this message today. We're unwrapping Christ for Christmas. Shepherds, wise guys, and a king. Today, we're looking at these shepherds so that we can see that they were following after God's word. Jesus, our Savior, had just been born, and now God sovereignly and graciously invites these lowly shepherds, these cultural outcasts, because they were seen as ceremonially unclean by their culture. And God reaches out to them and invites them to come witness this incredible event in history, the birth of Christ. And so this morning we will see how these shepherds followed after God's word 2,000 years ago, and how they found comfort, hope, joy, and peace from the Savior. And how we can do the same today. But before we study, let's ask God's help. Would you pray with me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your incredible goodness to us, that we have access to your truth through hearing your word. Lord, we just ask that you would move in our midst, that you would touch our hearts with your truth, that we would be prepared to hear it, that we might be encouraged, comforted, through spending time with you and your truth. So, Lord, we ask that you would move in our midst by the power of your Spirit through the preaching of your word. Have your way in all of this, we pray. In your Son's wonderful name, amen. If you have your sermon notes outlined with you from your program, the first simple truth is this: God knows how to reach us. God knows how to reach us. You know, that time with what Kath and I were going through, we just felt like we'd been forsaken. Nothing was going right. And maybe he forgot about us. You know, maybe he misplaced us somewhere. But no, the reality is God knows how to reach us. First of all, here, he knows where we are. Notice what it said. And in the same region there were shepherds. In the same region. Well, what region? Well, God knew what region it was. It was the region of Bethlehem, just 5.5 miles south of Jerusalem. Beit Lechem. Beit, house of Lechem, bread. The house of bread. It was the threshing floor. From where the bread of life, Jesus, was born, right? Possible area where sacrificial lambs were being raised for the temple in Jerusalem. This region where these shepherds were gathered, keeping sheep. He knows where we are. He knows where you are, even right now, with whatever you're going through. Secondly, he knows what we're doing. He knows what you're doing. He knew what these shepherds were up to. They were shepherds. It's fitting that the angels would appear specifically to these shepherds, proclaiming that the Lamb of God had been born. As John the Baptist said of Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Throughout the Bible, we see that shepherds are near and dear to God's heart. Abel, Abraham, Jacob, Moses, especially David, who was anointed himself in Bethlehem. And just as he knows what these shepherds were doing, keeping their sheep, he knows what you're up to. He knows what you're about. God knows how to reach us. He knows where we are. He knows what we're doing. And thirdly, he knows what we're up against. He knew, God knew, what these shepherds were up against in life. Can you imagine the life of a shepherd on this particular night? Out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night? That's got to be pretty exciting. Think about it. In the hills and wilderness between Jerusalem and Bethlehem, the terrain physically is rocky, it's hilly, it's dark and cold. In the wintertime, the temperatures can dip down in the 40s, 30s, uncomfortable, cold. Emotionally, you can imagine these guys are tired, lonely, bored out of their minds, too tired to stand, too tired to sleep. You ever felt like that? Left out in the dark, in the cold, doing tedious, monotony, thankless work, uncomfortable? Think of the mother managing the house, doing all the work to try to keep things clean, only to have to clean it again. That doesn't happen to anybody in here, does it? Or that job that you go to, the monotony, the drudgery, no appreciation from coworkers or the boss, no raise, more taxes. Ah! Maybe a marriage isn't going very well, where the relationship has grown cold. It is here that the Lord sends angels to proclaim the birth of His Son in the midst of the monotony, in the midst of the difficulty, the hardship. And if He knows where the lowly shepherds are, He knows where you are, and He knows how to reach you. It's when we are faithfully doing the hard work of what God has called us to do that He comes to us and reveals Himself to us. One theologian put it this way: we are not out of the way of divine visits when we are sensibly employed in an honest calling and abide with God in it. God has not forgotten you. He's not forsaken you. He knows what you're longing for. He knows what you're up against. He knows what you're doing. He knows where we are. God knows how to reach us. Secondly, this morning, we don't need to be afraid. We just don't. Sometimes we fear, don't we? But we don't have to. Look at verse 9. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. The shepherds are afraid. This is startling. This is scary. What is going on? There's like big shiny thing, and there's somebody talking. What is it? And the angel of the Lord appeared to them. Well, who is this? Obviously, a messenger sent by God Himself to proclaim great tidings of great joy. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. I'd love to see the special effects on this. How amazing would this have been to see this? And yet they're filled with great fear, because this kind of thing just doesn't happen every day when all of a sudden someone stands before you and starts glowing like the sun. And they are filled with great fear, it says. Ephobethes, Phoban, Megan. Megan, Phoban, Megaphere in the Greek. In the Greek, it literally reads, fearing with great fear. And all of us wrestle with various fears in our lives, don't we? Have you ever really, really been afraid? That night when Kathy and I were despondent, we were afraid. We were afraid of the future. We didn't know what was going to happen. Would God intervene? Would something give? Or should I just quit and go back to teaching? What do you want from us? Maybe you've never faced the prospect of a failed business, but maybe God has allowed some other sovereign calamity into your life that has brought you megas phobos, mega fear, or panic. Perhaps you have yet to face your greatest fear. Maybe that's yet before you. Loss of a loved one, the loss of a spouse or child, a major marital conflict you never anticipated or dreamed of, loss of a job, a financial setback. Now you're dealing with panic attacks, fear, a sense of a loss of control, not knowing what's going to happen next. But the reality is we don't have to fear. Perhaps you'll be startled, maybe surprised, but you don't have to be afraid. First of all here, God has incredible words of comfort for us. Notice, they simply say this in verse 10, and the angel, singular, the angel, we'll see more angels in a minute, but the angel said to them, what? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news. God has words of comfort for us. Good news? Don't you realize something's glowing in front of me? What is this? No, I've got good news. It's awesome. What kind of good news? The root word here in the Greek is euangelion. It's where we get the word gospel. Fear not, for behold, I bring you the gospel. I bring you the good spiel. The gospel, good spiel in the old English. The good story. About what? About Jesus, who came and paid for all of our sin once and for all. That's the good news. He's been born into the world. Here He comes. You guys, this is incredible news. If Jesus comes and pays my debt of sin before a holy and righteous God once and for all, that's not just good news. That's incredible news. That is outrageous, crazy news. I don't have to pay anymore. He's paid it all. God has words of comfort for all of us. Secondly, God has words of great joy for us. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Charon megalen. Charon, joy. Megalen, great. Megas, joy. It's mega joy again. We got great news, mega joy. Notice how it's for all the people. Not just for a select few, but it's for everyone. For all those who would believe. Everyone has access to this joy that is found in Christ and in Christ alone. And now instead of being afraid, we can put on joy. I can put off fear, put on joy. Thirdly, God has words of hope for us. What hope? Verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. We have a Savior. No matter what's going on in your world, we have a Savior, a Redeemer, someone who comes for us. Because of his love for us. And that brings us hope. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. A Savior. We don't have to be afraid because there is one who has come to save us. He is Christ the Lord. Christos Kurios. The Christos, which is the Greek rendition of the Hebrew Messiah. He's the Mashiach, the anointed one, the promised one from of old. And this brings us great hope. No matter what we're going through, we have a Savior. And now we have access to comfort, joy, hope. And fourthly, God has words of peace for us. Don't miss this. Verse 12 says, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. What kind of a crazy message is that? And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. First of all, notice his lowly means. Here we have a child wrapped in cloths, basically in a straw bucket in a cave. That's what we're talking about. Lowly estate of Christ, our Savior, the King of the universe, the Creator, in a basket of straw. But at the same time, notice his exalted estate. The angels show up. Multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God. Glory to God. And the root here, glory, doxa, or we get the word doxology. Praise God from whom blessings flow. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Notice what he accomplishes vertically and horizontally. Jesus brings glory to God, and secondly, he brings peace on earth. I don't know about you, but man, I'm longing for peace. I want peace in my life. Someone might say, I know that God sent his son to die on the cross to pay for my sins and that he promises eternal life to all those who believe, but I have real problems right here, right now. How does that help? And so a woman might say, how does Jesus being my Savior relate to my husband wanting to leave me? Or how does Jesus being the Savior relate to the fact that I can't stand my boss? Or how does Jesus being the Savior relate to how I keep having to deal with my disappointment and my depression? Not only is it true that Jesus is the once and for all Savior who will save us from an everlasting eternity in hell apart from him, but he is also our Savior and guide through anything and everything we are encountering in this life, right here, right now. No matter what you're going through, right here, right now, he longs to bring you peace. John 10:10. Jesus himself says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Yeah, we always focus about the future, right? About what God has for us in the future. But you know what? He's got something for us right here, right now, too. Yeah, there is a there and a then, but there's a difference that's made here and now based on who he is in our life. want you to have an abundant life, Jesus says. He goes on to say in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Anybody here like that? Are you burdened? Are you heavy laden? What does he say? And I will give you rest. Ah, oh, please, thank you. Rest, please. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Oh man, the world is cruel, but he is gentle. He's lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls, he says. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I don't know about you, but who wouldn't want that? We all are longing for this. God has words of peace for us. Are you hearing this today? Not just an everlasting life, but an abundant life rooted in rest for us. David writes this in Psalm 116. I love the Lord. Why? Because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Oh, praise God, he hears us, right? Why? Because he inclined his ear to me. He's listening. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live, David says. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. What's he talking about? What's David talking about? There's a crazy man, a king by the name of Saul, who's trying to kill him. He's throwing spears at him. Right? All the time. He finds himself out in the wilderness trying to get away from this crazy king. And he feels like, man, I'm going to die. God, where are you? Well, I love the Lord. Why? Because he heard my voice, my pleas for mercy, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. See, the snares of death encompass me. The pangs of Sheol, the pangs of the pit laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish, and then I called on the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. Oh, praise God for that. I'm simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest. Oh, words of peace. When we're in peace, we're finally at rest. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. Oh, you, beloved, this is fantastic. This is what our Savior brings to us. He delivers us from death. He delivers our eyes from tears and our feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Man, it's not just about there and then. It's right here, right now. I'm going to walk right now. Words of peace. Peace with God. Peace with others in our relationships. Peace within ourselves. We don't need to be afraid. He has words of comfort, words of joy, words of hope, words of peace for us. We need to follow after his word. That's what we need to be about. Thirdly, this morning, we can respond to all that God has revealed to us. We can respond to all that God has revealed to us just as these shepherds did. First of all, by seeking his presence. That's what these shepherds did. They immediately started seeking his presence. Look at verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, well, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. This is awesome! Which the Lord has made known to us. And they went, how? With haste, right? That means they went really fast. They took off. They went for it. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. They wanted to see what God had said for themselves. And they demonstrated that by what they did. Let's go over to Bethlehem now. You know, I'm amazed at how many people say they want to see Christ, but then won't do anything about it. They won't go anywhere. Seemingly nothing will move them. These went with haste. These shepherds were moving out to go see what God had said. And I just wonder, how much time do we waste doing most anything but pursuing Christ? One of my favorite Puritan theologians, a guy by the name of John Owen, wrote this biblical theology back in the 1600s. Soli Deo Gloria, for the glory of God alone. 1600s. And he sums up what I'm getting at here on this point with one word. And the one word is the issue of sloth. Sloth, you know what sloth is? That fuzzy, hairy, drapey creature that moves super slow. Not with haste, super slow. None of you are wrestling with sloth, are you? In the front matter of this book, which, by the way, is remarkable. So, like, here's the front. Can you see how thick that is? That's just the beginning part of this admonition to the reader before you even start the book. And there's a huge section on this issue of sloth. Listen closely. First, we must face up to the factor of sloth, by which we may observe some students, and no small number of them at that, growing weary of their work. It is easy to point the finger at this evil, but if I were to set out fully all that might be brought forward for its condemnation, my discussion would be endless. Such is the shame of sloth, that even the most slothful take the name very badly and are forced to mitigate its effects so far as concerns their reputation and self-interest. Indeed, they would join in its condemnation in word, if not in deed. I shall relieve myself of the burden of proving its evil nature and be content with exposing its hidden sources so as to encourage anyone to combat it who is determined not to let the fruit of his whole life be endangered by a single vice. The chief spring of sloth is indwelling sin, ever itching for the pursuit of pleasure. Any mind that is enslaved to lust, desire, wantonness is unable to give serious attention to our subject. If you are not temperate and industrious, your labors will be in vain. All servitude enfeebles the mind, most of all slavery to sin. Considering that a mind which has surrendered to sensuality will shrink from all mental effort, and that the vices of the body hold the mind in the chains of darkness. So by contrast, a man dedicated to a life of study in things divine and spiritual will recoil from the flesh and from sloth. Sadly, you will see about you many men who should be dedicated to the study and expounding of God's word, but who hold their positions by any number of pretext names and titles. We're just like worn-out horses. No goad will force them onward in the course they have begun. Their fallen condition by nature has been compounded with new sins, he writes. Ah, the problem of sloth. You're not slothful, are you? Or are you getting after the things of God? Are you seeking his presence in haste? That's the deal. We can respond to all that God has revealed to us by seeking his presence. Secondly, by proclaiming his wonder. And when they saw it, what did they see? When they saw Jesus, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Oh, that's the one born in the swaddling clothes. There he is. All right. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. By proclaiming his wonder, we respond to all that God has revealed to us by proclaiming his wonder to others. After seeing the child, they proclaim their experience to anyone who would hear it. Have you yourself been so moved by Jesus that you want to tell everyone about him? It sure is a great irony that we will tell everyone about the big game we saw or the latest news or the latest piece of gossip. But what about Christ? We generally won't talk much about that which we are not experiencing for ourselves personally. Ouch. And if you aren't experiencing the wonder of Christ, it'll be very difficult for you to say anything to anyone about him. If you aren't spending time with him, how could you possibly be impacted by him? Well, what kind of marriage would it be? If I say I love my wife, but we don't ever see each other or talk to each other, we never hold hands or embrace, what kind of marriage would it be if I went days and weeks without hearing from her? That's no marriage. The wonder of my wife is something that must be experienced for me to have anything to say about it. Similarly, going for days and weeks without God's word, without spending time with him in prayer, without good, healthy fellowship with God's people, will impair and stunt your spiritual growth. And it will keep us from saying anything to anyone about who he is and what he's done for us. Oh, beloved, we need to respond to what God has revealed to us by seeking his presence, by proclaiming his wonder to all who will hear. Thirdly, by treasuring his promises. Look at verse 19. Little comment here about Mary. Verse 19, but Mary, what was she doing with all this? The shepherds come, the shepherds leave. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. The question here is, what is it that we truly value? Here, Mary truly values that which is significant, that which matters. She values Christ. Are we treasuring Christ or not? Sadly, we often demonstrate a whole host of things that we treasure way more than him. But Mary knew what was important. She knew what to treasure. She knew what to hide in her heart. What about you? What are you treasuring? Are you treasuring his promises? Lastly here, we can respond to all that God has revealed to us by exalting his goodness. Listen to what happens in conclusion here in verse 20. And the shepherds returned, doing what? Glorifying. Doxa. Doxology. Glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. All that God said was exactly the way it was. By the way, you can count on that reality. Whatever God has said is exactly the way it will be. Oh, that we would glorify him and praise him for all that we have heard and seen about our Savior, based on who he is and all that he has done for us. Well, that night as Kathy and I tearfully got into bed, we were in tears, crying out to God in prayer for relief. Maybe you've been there. We cried out, Lord, if something doesn't change in the next 3 months, we'll have to leave this dream behind. We have nowhere else to turn. You are our only hope. The very next day, in the mail, we received a belated anniversary card with $50 in it. It was like we won the lottery. We were now loaded. We could buy all the baloney we wanted. And within 2 months, by God's grace, two other agents retired and we received all the accounts that the company had promised. And our agency basically tripled overnight. Our ship had finally come in no uncertain terms, God had come through in a crazy way. Through that process, Kathy and I learned faithfulness, to trust God, to such an extent that eventually, after 10 years of being in business, we left that behind to go into full-time ministry, knowing that no matter what's going to happen, God's going to see us through. He'll meet our need, and he always has. Through the ups and the downs, he's always there. That's who he is. That's what he's promised. Sometimes in life, it's easy to be overcome with feelings of loneliness, darkness, monotony, and oppression. But God knows how to reach us. He knows where we are, what we're doing, and what we're up against. In all of this, we don't need to be afraid. God has words of comfort, joy, hope, and peace for us. Ultimately, we can respond to all that God has revealed to us by seeking his presence, proclaiming his wonder, treasuring his promises, and exalting in his goodness. And I ask you this morning, are you seeking his presence this morning with haste? Are you proclaiming his wonders to all who hear? Treasuring his promises in your very heart, exalting in his incredible goodness. As we come to the Lord's table this morning, we have an opportunity.